Chapter 4. A Terrible Man. Even a person like me has dreams. Even a person like me wants a better life. And even a person like me can be disappointed. It's dangerous to hope. I thought that maybe life in Europe would be easier, but I was wrong, very wrong. It was worse than anything I could have imagined. It was a nightmare. First of all, the Belgian police didn't want our show either. In every town and every village, people protested, and the police forced us to leave. They saw me as a foreigner, an invader. But that wasn't the worst part. The worst part was Ferrari. He was a very cruel boss. He shouted at me and beat me for no reason. It wasn't just for the show. He seemed to enjoy being cruel. Sometimes he didn't feed me, and he even made me sleep in a cage. Besides, he paid me very badly. Tom Norman hadn't been a great boss, but working for him and Roper, I managed to save £50, which I kept hidden in my pocket. Working for Ferrari, I never had any money. I didn't understand it. Why didn't we have any money when there were crowds paying to see me every night? Then one night, from my cage, I heard Ferrari talking to one of the circus clowns. I pretended to be asleep and listened to their conversation. "The elephant man attracts a big crowd," the clown said.
"Yes, that's true,"
Ferrari laughed, drinking from a bottle of beer.
"But he's very stupid. The people pay hundreds of francs to see him, and he thinks we only make a few francs a show."
The clown said, "You mean to say you are robbing that poor creature?"
"Robbing him," Ferrari said. "He's not a human being, he's a monster. How can you rob a monster?"
"Ferrari," the clown said, "you're a terrible man." Ferrari said,
"Oh, what does he care? The elephant man is lucky that I find him work. If it wasn't for me, they'd murder him in the street."
I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Ferrari was stealing from me. He was a lying criminal. I counted my savings. I still had my £50. I swore that I would get revenge. I told myself that I would leave in the morning and go back to England. I wasn't going to work for a cruel thief like Ferrari. I went to sleep, furious. In the morning, when I woke up, the first thing I noticed was that my cage door was open. Then I realized I was alone. The whole circus had moved on without me. Ferrari had left me in the middle of nowhere without even a note. I was abandoned in a foreign country. I checked my pockets and discovered that the £50 were gone. Ferrari had stolen from me while I was sleeping. I had no money. I was hungry and totally alone. I put on my hood and made my way back to the train station on foot. I didn't talk to anybody on the road because I didn't want to scare them. I had some pots and pans and an extra pair of shoes, and I sold these for a few francs. Then I took the train to Zeebrugge to board a ferry to England. I had just enough money for a one-way train ticket, but no money for the ferry. I got to the port, but the captain wouldn't let me on board.
"Take off your mask," he said. "How do we know you aren't a criminal trying to escape justice?"
I started to take off my hat and hood. The captain and his crew gasped in horror.
"Put your mask back on," the captain shouted. "You're not coming on my boat. What if you have a disease? You're probably ill, and you'll make us ill too."
"No," I said, "I'm not ill. Not in the normal way. Nobody could catch what I had. The captain finally said,
Listen, friend, I don't mean to be cruel, but I can't let you on this boat. Even if you're not ill, you might scare the other passengers to death.
Days passed. I became dizzy from hunger. I was tired from sleeping in the streets. I wandered into the Belgian forest and sat down by a tree. It was raining, and my clothes were wet. I would die here in the forest, and nobody would care. In fact, most people would be relieved if I died, because then they wouldn't have to look at me. And that was the worst part. I was lonely. As night fell across the cold forest, I started to cry. I cried and cried until my hood was wet inside. I cried until I could cry no more. I hugged myself to keep warm. That's when I felt something in my pocket and pulled it out. It was a business card. Dr. Frederick Treves, Chief Surgeon, the London Hospital. The doctor. I had forgotten all about him. Maybe if I could get back to London, he could help me. I stood up and started to walk through the forest. It was pouring now and very dark. But for the first time in my life, I felt truly happy because I had a mission. I had to get back to London and visit the doctor. Maybe he could help me so I would no longer be a freak. If he couldn't cure me, at least he could help me make a better life than this one. I was sick of living the life of an object in an exhibition, of travelling from town to town, hated, stared at, shouted at, and beaten like a dog. I had done nothing wrong, but I was treated like a criminal because of my appearance. It was so unfair. I just wanted to be normal, or as normal as a person like me can be. Some people want to be special, but I wanted to be just an ordinary person, somebody that nobody notices, a nobody with shelter and a little bit of food and maybe even a companion. Just then, a wagon stopped near me and the old driver said, I'm going to Ostend. Do you want to travel with me? I jumped onto the wagon. We sat side by side, and I told him my life story as we travelled. He never asked me to take off my hood, and he was very sympathetic to my situation. The old man was very kind. When we got to Ostend, he bought me a ticket for a ship to Dover in England, and he made sure the captain let me on board. From Dover, I could catch a train to London and get to Liverpool Street Station. Then I could visit the good doctor and maybe even find a home.
Be careful, young fellow, the old man said as I got on the boat. Those London train stations are filled with all kinds of strange people.